You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
This is MLB.com Extras, Chicago White Sox. It's Matt Wehmeyer with Jeff Nelson. We are joined on the phone by MLB.com White Sox reporter Scott Merkin as he comes to us from White Sox spring training. Scott, thanks for joining us. Just want to start off by having you discuss what the general vibe and attitude is right now with this revamped White Sox team heading into 2015.
Well, even with Chris Sale's minor mishap recently, it's very upbeat. The team really feels like they have a chance to win this year. It's an important season for them. They kind of sped up the reshaping process with about 8 off-season impact moves and really put themselves in contention for the AL Central. And they believe, at the very least, they can win the division. I think at the most, they believe they can win it all this year. They've really kind of addressed every need that they had and upgraded everything.
Scott, I think we have to talk about that a little bit more. There's always freak injuries, whether somebody falling right in the tub, down the stairs. Chris Sale jumps off a truck, and you just mentioned all the moves that the White Sox have made for them to contend in that Central Division. How long is he going to be out? And me as a pitcher, knowing, okay, a starter needs a lot of time, especially spring training. This is one of the reasons why spring training is so long. When do you see him back at the earliest? I'm thinking possibly middle of April, maybe even beginning of May.
Yeah, I'm not sure about beginning of May, but I think you're on the mark with, the April possibility. Let's put it this way. They're certainly not going to rush him at all. It's going to be, 100% health before he gets on the mound, because you don't want anything else to happen where maybe you're compensating for your foot not feeling as great as it possibly can and you hurt something else. I think that might have happened a little bit with Nate Jones last year, where he had, the hip problem and the back problem. And, it could be, just two separate, different injuries for him, but kind of led to trying to find a new landing point and maybe hurt the elbow in the process. But, I think Sale is going to be, when he's out there, they want to have him for the rest of the season. So they don't need 5 starters really until April 21st moving forward. It's really just 2 starts because of the 3 off days. And, you're probably going to have other rearrangements with them playing in the AL Central almost that entire month. So weather is going to probably play a part too. So yeah, I think, they're not ruling out opening day. They still have hope for him. They still have hope that by 3 weeks he'll be back doing baseball activities. And, that still gives him 2 weeks left in spring training before the opening day start in Kansas City. But again, if it means missing opening day and being back, April 15th or April 22nd and being there the rest of the year and making 32 starts, then that's what they're going for. So it could be worse, but it's not the worst situation they possibly could have. It's not what they hope for, is what I'm trying to say, obviously, and not what they plan for, but it could have been a lot worse, especially what they heard at first. They thought it could be, something more serious.
Scott, after Chris Sale, let's talk about the rest of that rotation. You've got Jeff Samardzija and Jose Quintana as your 2 and 3, and then talk about how the rest of that rotation fills out from there.
Well, it's pretty well set right now. The only situation is who would, temporarily take the spot for Chris Sale, but, an unhealthy situation, it's Chris Sale, Jeff Samardzija, Jose Quintana, John Danks, and Hector Noesi. And, they got a lot out of Hector Noesi last year after he was released by a couple teams. And, they put him in that number 5 spot last year, and he did pretty well. And they're excited to have him for a full camp this year to work more on, what they can. So Don Cooper has some plans to make him even more viable in that last spot. And John Danks has changed his arm slot a little bit. He's changed his leg kick a little bit. And he's just trying to, do a little more, get a little more movement with a little loss of velocity from that shoulder injury. Now, he was never a real hard thrower to begin with. But after the shoulder surgery in 2012, he's a different style of pitcher now. And this is a couple years removed now. It's pretty much behind him. Now it's just pitching again. And, he's a pretty solid pitcher when healthy. So it's a pretty good starting rotation. It matches up, I think, very well against the rest of the AL Central. You can put those first 3 when healthy against pretty much any first 3 in baseball and come out pretty even, if not ahead.
And Scott, how excited are the White Sox to have David Robertson in the back end of their bullpen in the 9th inning?
Well, it's a key thing because last year, I think, the bullpen was not good last year, and the numbers prove that it was not a strong bullpen. But there were some good pitchers in that bullpen. And I think because of injuries to Nate Jones, because of an injury to Matt Lindstrom that cost him a bunch of time, there were guys who were out of position in terms of where they align late in the game. And, you know, Jeff, you know how it goes with the bullpen. You got to have the right fit in the right inning, not just all good pitchers down there. It's got to kind of work as a almost a conveyor belt, you know, one hand, or a relay race, one handing off to the next. Well, now you have the guy in the ninth inning for the next 4 years, so you know you're set there. You're confident that you have one of the better closers. You know, you paid the money to get him to go after that ninth inning, and now you have guys like Zach Duke and Dan Jennings and Jake Patricia and Javi Guerra and Zach Putnam who all fit in before then, and maybe even Carlos Rodon before all is said and done in the bullpen also. So, you know, it's you have a good starting staff, and you hate to waste great starts with a late inning loss, and they feel like they've answered that problem from last year with a number of upgrades in the back end of the bullpen.
Scott, when you take a look at the offense, first base in particular, Jose Abreu coming off his Rookie of the Year campaign in 2014, the first baseman. They also bring in Adam LaRocha, the longtime career first baseman. How do you see that kind of shaking out between the two of them?
Well, Adam LaRocha is, you know, going to play right now. I mean, it's so hard to say because they haven't really even played a Cactus inning, you know, Cactus League inning yet. So it's hard to say what the exact alignment's going to be. But I think Abreu played about 103 games at first base last year, and I would think that total is probably a good rough number to look at. You know, LaRocha is a great defensive first baseman. He's a Gold Glove winner, so you feel comfortable putting him out there. But he's also a guy who, you know, is ready to DH, and I think it's going to split even. They both seem to have a real good attitude about, you know, splitting that time with first base and DH. And Rick Hahn talked about talking to Abreu in the, you know, in the offseason when they were going to get LaRocha. And he was excited about it. He was ready to bring him in. And he actually said to him at the end of the conversation, okay, now what are we going to do about the pitching? So he's looking at, you know, team first all the way.
Will you guys go out and sign Melky Cabrera? What's that mean for that lineup?
Well, again, that seems to be the ones that people point to as the biggest surprise of the additions, because it sounded like that, you know, they were kind of at their budget limit or what they had set for spending, and then they came up and got him too with a 3-year deal of $42 million, I believe. So now you have a number two hitter, and really you just have a good hitter. Forget about number two. He fits in that lineup as a switch hitter and a solid left fielder in that second spot. But if you want to, let's say, go a different lineup, you want to use Emilio Bonifacio and go with the speed, you know, top of the order with Eaton and Bonifacio, Cabrera certainly can hit, you know, fifth or sixth or lower in the order. So it's just another good offensive weapon. And now, you know, they still have guys who can clear the fences. They still have home run hitters, which you need at U.S. Cellular Field. But they also can beat you in other ways. You know, they have the speed factor more than I can remember in a long time on this roster.
Scott, you mentioned Emilio Bonifacio moments ago. He's in the mix for that second base battle. Who do you think gets the starting nod when all is said and done?
If I had to guess right now, and again, I'm going back to the, you know, early in spring training stage, but if I had to guess right now, I think Micah Johnson has a slight edge. You know, he's probably not as far along defensively as some of the other candidates, certainly not, you know, Gordon Beckham, who, you know, even with his offensive struggles over the years, up and down offensive performance, he was always one of the better defensive second basemen in the league. So you have him, you have Bonifacio, and Carlos Sanchez, who played pretty well during his September call-up last year, and I think is a little ahead of Micah defensively, but Micah can really be a dynamic weapon offensively and has worked hard on his defense. You know, Robin Ventura talked about that today, as a matter of fact, that he's put in a lot of time with third base coach Joe McEwing on the defense. So I think it's better for the White Sox overall if either Micah or Carlos starts at second base, because then you can use Bonifacio and Beckham all over the baseball diamond, really, with Bonifacio. You know, he plays second, short, third, and every outfield position, and Beckham across the infield. So I think that's the best situation for him if one of the rookies takes second base, and then you have the other guys as kind of super sub material.
Any other surprises possibly in spring training as far as breaking camp? How about the catching situation?
No, I mean, I think, you know, Tyler Flowers is the starter going into the season. He will be the starter opening day. And, you know, they have some good veteran options. Now they have some depth there, which they didn't always have before. Giovanni Soto's lost some weight and, you know, in the offseason is in good shape coming into camp. He's a guy who, along the way, if he, you know, he breaks camp with the White Sox, could challenge Flowers for more playing time. But Flowers is a very confident kid that the pitchers like throwing to him. So, you know, I think he's got the starting job, and it's a question of whether it's Soto, or you also have George Gutierrez back there, Adrian Nieto, Rob Brantley. There's some options there. But really, there shouldn't be that many surprises, because with all the moves they made, they kind of, you know, set a lot of spots there. I guess the biggest question is what's going to happen with Carlos Rodon, who's their, you know, dynamic number one pick from last year, rated by MLB.com as a number 14 prospect overall. He's going to fill in for Sale in the Cactus League rotation, and the question is, does he break camp with the team as possibly, you know, the spot starter for those two spots, and then maybe falls back into the bullpen once Sale returns, or do they have him start in the minors where he gets regular starts, you know, for Triple A Charlotte or Double A Birmingham? So I think, you know, who wins second base and what happens with Carlos Rodon are the two biggest questions to look at as spring training, as Cactus League play begins Wednesday against the Dodgers.
Our thanks to Scott Merkin, MLB.com White Sox reporter. For Jeff Nelson, I'm Matt Wehmeyer. Thanking you for joining us on MLB.com Extras, Chicago White Sox.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, t-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.